Welcome, family, friends, brothers and sisters, to the service in memory of Tiffany Janis. I am Bishop Janis. I am a brother-in-law to Tiffany, and David's oldest brother, and it's been such an honor and privilege to work with David this week as we prepared for these services in memory of Tiffany. I'm grateful that the funerals services here in Utah, where we might all participate, so many longtime friends and family, or friends of the family, can be here as well. I've been a bishop for about a year and conducted two funerals last year, my first year of service, and had actually never expected to conduct one for a family member. So I apologize if I get emotional as the meeting progresses. Our family's been very close to David and Tiffany's family for many years. We had the privilege of living in Dallas for about 12 years, and both families made the I-45 drive many times, you know, through Texas, and we enjoyed and have cherished memories of those times together. As Damon and I counseled about this service, he expressed a desire that we closely follow the church handbook guidelines for funerals. And I want to mention just two things from the handbook, and that will help provide a little context for this service. Funerals are to be simple and dignified, with music and brief addresses and sermons centered on the gospel, including the comfort afforded by the Savior's atonement and resurrection. Secondly, bishops are to urge members to maintain a spirit of reverence, dignity, and solemnity during the funeral service and the gatherings connected with the service. Damon has expressed the feeling that Tiffany, her mortal body, served its purpose here on earth, and asked that we not have the casket here in the service. So we have some pictures of Tiffany to remember her when she was alive. And his testimony is that she's very much alive, and he'll share some of that with us when he speaks in a few minutes. But he wants us to carry on as the same Tiffany that we know and love is carrying on. There are outside the doors, as some of you came in, you may have noticed, memory boxes, and there's little cards that are there for you to just write down a short memory or something you would have said to Tiffany or the family, and just drop it in the box, and those will be given to the family after the service. But they might keep that and refer to it. It's in lieu of doing a guest registry. And after the service, we're going to have a luncheon, sort of casual luncheon of some sandwiches back in the cultural hall, and everyone here is welcome to attend. It's not just for family. It is for everybody who's here, and it's intended to be an opportunity to continue to socialize and visit and spend time together. I know many of you have not seen each other for some period of time, and this is a bit of a family reunion too. The memory boxes will be left out during that luncheon, so if you didn't have a chance to fill it out, please take a moment and do that during the lunchtime. We would also invite any who would like to attend the grave dedication at 1:30 at the Lark and Sunset Gardens to do so. It will be a very short service. It's basically just going to be a dedicatory prayer on the grave, or a dedication of the grave, I'm sorry. And so we would ask, if you do attend and you're not family, you're welcome, but leave a room around the casket, if you would, for the family to come in close for that event. And we'll leave here about 1 o'clock. It's about 20, 25-minute drive across the valley to the east side. And we'll have maps during the luncheon for anybody who's not aware of where to go. And the dedication of the grave will be done by John Scott, Tiffany's father. I'd like to thank Sister Eldridge, who's a member of our ward here in Daybreak, who's the organist, and Amy Coons, Sister Tiffany, who's the chorister. And we'll open this service singing hymn 220, Lord, I Would Follow Thee, after which Elder Taylor Janis, who's a son of Tiffany and is on a short-term leave from his mission in Arizona, he will offer the invocation. He was able to return home just a day or so before Tiffany passed away to be with her. Thank you.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we come before Thee in gratitude for all the support and love that we feel from all the friends and family that are here. We're so grateful for the prayers and for the kind words and the kindness of all those that have expressed their condolences at the passing of Tiffany. We're so grateful for the life and the legacy that she lived. We pray that we'll be able to honor her with the way that we live our lives. We pray for the Spirit to be with us in this meeting, and we ask that Thou wilt bless the speakers, that they will be able to give words to express their thoughts and their feelings, and help us all feel close to Tiffany. We pray that we all will be comforted at this time, and we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Elder James. I'll now announce the remainder of the program, and just remind you that when the service is over, please join us in the cultural hall for lunch. The first speaker will be Damon Janis, husband of Tiffany. After Damon speaks to us, sisters who are friends and acquaintances and relatives of those sisters will sing to us, "Be Still My Soul." Then we'll have speaker Shelby Bingham, sister Tiffany, will speak to us. After which, the children and the Janis and Scott families will come up and sing "Teach Me to Walk in the Light." They'll be directed by Valerie Scott, accompanied by Lisa Janis, who is sister-in-law. And then our concluding speaker will be John Scott, brother Tiffany. After John's remarks, we'll sing hymn 293, "Each Life That Touches Us for Good." And then Damon James Jr., son of Tiffany, will offer the benediction.
It's really good to be with you today. I appreciate all of you coming. I had to make a decision where to do the service, and Tiffany has hundreds of friends and Katie, and some of you are here today, and I appreciate that. There's many others back in Katie that would have liked to be here, but I felt that having her family be able to be here and make it easier for you would be what she would want, and so I appreciate you being here as well. Tiffany has pushed me a lot in my life to be a better person, and one of my greatest fears has always been speaking at a funeral. So she's given me that opportunity. And I'm sure there's more things that I'll be able to do in the future that will be because she expects a lot out of me. I hope this meeting is uplifting and brings us up. While we feel the sadness of the change that she's gone through, I hope that we can feel the joy in that change as well. And it's a change that all of us are going to go through in our turn, when it's our turn. So I hope at the end of this meeting that you feel uplifted and inspired and hopeful, as I do. Tiffany made this really easy because she has expressed her testimony so many times. I want to share a couple things, points, as I speak to you for a few minutes here. The first one is about miracles and God's love. The second one is about covenants. And then the third one is accepting the will of the Lord. So let me start with miracles and God's love. On December 19th, Tiffany posted on Facebook the following, where she talks about God's love and the experience that she had over the last 15 months with cancer. "Looking back since my diagnosis of cancer 15 months ago, I see an incredible story of miracles, and though it is the most difficult thing I've ever faced, I am in awe at the majesty of God's love, compassion, grace, and light that has illuminated this whole experience!" Exclamation mark. "In this season, it's like I'm a fir tree, and the little and not so little miracles are the strings of light that have covered me, encircled me, and strengthened me day to day, sometimes minute by minute. The Lord is my light and my song!" 3 exclamation points. "I give Him glory in every heartbeat. I haven't lived these past 15 months like everyone else, but it's truly been a sacred bubble of living that I hold dear." So I want to expand on what she said a little bit and tell you some of the miracles that she's experienced over the last year and a half. The one that comes to my mind first is that she was able to make it to Damon and McCall's ceiling 2 weeks ago. And that was, it literally was a miracle. Her body was shutting down at the time, and the only way I could get her out to Utah, I had to charter a jet with a couch on it. her nurse came and took care of her, and some of you were there and saw her. She was fully there in mind and body and spirit. It was such a wonderful day for her. The fact that she made it, absolute miracle. Of course, she wrote this post before that event took place, and she didn't know at the time if she was going to make it or not, but she had such a strong desire to. She was able to see my family and her family and share her testimony with us on that day. And just a nice little cherry on top kind of blessing. She's never met an apostle her whole life. And we're at the Ogre Mountain Temple. We got out of the ceiling, and Elder Nelson came walking up to her and spent a few moments with her, giving her some words of comfort, and she was able to have that interaction with him. Another miracle that happened, and that really shows God's love, is about 6 weeks ago, 7 weeks ago, she was having a lot of abdominal fluid building up, and it was creating a lot of pressure and discomfort. So we went to the hospital to get it drained, and Susan, her mom, was with us. And the whole thing ended up that the surgeon refused to do the draining. And we couldn't believe it. And but the thing was is that the doctor that was on call at that time to consider people to get submitted for this sort of thing was a friend of Tiffany. She was in our ward, and they played violin together, and they just had a really good friendship. And she comes walking into the room where we were, and they of course, they break down and cry and hug each other and everything. But this doctor wasn't able to get this taken care of. And the next day, she kept getting this prompting to go talk to an oncologist. And she's like, Tiffany doesn't want to meet with an oncologist, so why do I keep getting this prompting? And finally, at the end of the day, she did. She called the oncologist and went over her case. And the oncologist was able to refer a home health care doctor and nurse. So that the last month and a half, Tiffany was able to get care at home, and a wonderful nurse, Jamie, who blessed her so much and gave her so much comfort, and Tiffany got to share the gospel with her, which she was very excited about. Shelby, her sister, came out in early December, and they worked on personal progress together, and that was such a great blessing to Tiffany. And Emily earned hers at the same time and got presented last week. If Tiffany had been here, they would have been presented at the same time. Her mom and sisters put the medallion on her body this morning, so she'll be buried with that. But that was just another blessing from Heavenly Father, something she'd wanted to do for so long, and she was able to accomplish that. And then lastly, our son Taylor was able to make it home in time to spend some time with Tiffany and to give her a blessing of comfort. And she passed away maybe about 18 hours after he got home. But I remember she passed away Wednesday night, actually super early Thursday morning. On Tuesday morning, she was having a hard time communicating by then, but she told me, she asked me, is Taylor coming home? I want to say goodbye to him. And so at 4:30 in the morning, I'm texting Taylor's mission president, we've got to get him out here. And he responded about 5 minutes later and said, as soon as the Salt Lake office opens, I need to get permission, and we'll do that. And we got him out that same day, and he came home and gave her a blessing, and she told us, again, she could communicate very little, but she was able to tell us that it brought her a lot of comfort. That was the second blessing Taylor was able to give her while he was a full-time missionary. So I made a list of all of the blessings and miracles while I was on the plane coming out here, and there's hundreds of them. I've only shared like three. I could go on and on. I'm not going to. But I hope you get a flavor of how kind Heavenly Father has been to her. And she has felt that and known that. Now, the testimony that she shared with us 2 weeks ago was about covenants. She sat down with the younger Janice family and Scott family children, and of course she was talking to all of us, and she said that how they had been praying for her was a form of them keeping their baptismal covenants. And she shared the story of Alma and meeting with the people that he was teaching, and he said, what have you against mourning with those that mourn and comforting those that stand in need of comfort and carrying the burdens of others to help make them lighter? And that if you do that and you're baptized to show that you're willing to do that, then you'll receive eternal life as a reward. And she pointed out that the way that they had been praying for her, which had brought her so much peace and comfort, was a form of them keeping their baptismal covenants. And she shared, she has such a strong belief of the importance of covenants and how as we keep our covenants, Heavenly Father always gives us power and protection and knowledge. And that's such a great blessing. So many of you have prayed for Tiffany over the course of this, and that's a form of keeping your covenants. As we keep our baptismal covenants, her testimony is that as we keep our baptismal covenants, those of us that hold the priesthood keep our priesthood covenants, and those of us who have been to the temple and made covenants there, which are many, we keep those covenants, that we are blessed with those things, with power and knowledge and protection, and that that's how we attain eternal life. Tiffany lived her life that way in mortality. She lived openly and faithfully. I want to just share a couple thoughts on the Lord's will. A year and a half ago when Tiffany was diagnosed, she already had about 12 tumors in her liver from the colon cancer, and five of them were quite large. And we knew that the chances of her surviving very long were pretty slim. The doctors gave her about 5 or 6 months with conventional treatment. And at the time, I was wondering, you know, what's going to happen? And I didn't really know what Heavenly Father's will was until the week that she passed away. But during that whole time, I continued to have faith that whatever His will was, I was going to accept, that I wasn't going to let this experience affect my faith in a negative way. And I'm so grateful I did that. I was able to turn to the Lord. Tiffany did the same thing. She turned to the Lord, and we were so strengthened together in that. And I can tell you today, with absolute certainty, that Heavenly Father loves each and every one of us. He absolutely does. If we turn to Him when we're in our trials, if we turn to Him when we're struggling, He will bless us, and He will strengthen us. I know this from personal experience, and I know that Tiffany knows this, and that is a message that she wants you to know as well. I'm so grateful for the atonement of Jesus Christ. It overcomes sin, and it overcomes physical death. And because of that, there's hope for all of us. And I want to leave this with you, with my love, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Years. That's a lot of memories to try to condense into 5 minutes. Several years ago, Tiffany wrote a brief history of her life up to that point, and one quote sums up what she and I shared growing up. Quote, "I remember playing with Shelby all the time. We thought of ways to earn money, like window washing or selling things. We played games like Monopoly, chess, life, and solitaire for hours. We played with dolls and Barbies, made up plays, scratched each other's backs, rode bikes, played instruments, dressed up John, watched TV, played with friends and cousins, fought, and shared a room together in capital letters. I had a best friend growing up, and as Mom always told us would happen, didn't appreciate it till we were older and apart." End quote. Fortunately, after many years apart, we were able to live fairly close to each other in Texas for 12 years. We made a point of appreciating our physical proximity during that time and got together as often as we could. Tiffany and I shared many milestone events together in each other's lives, such as missions, weddings, births of children, blessings, baptisms, and ordinations. We now can share one last special day. January 1st is my birthday into this life, and is Tiffany's birthday into the next. Anyone who knows Tiffany knows she has a passionate nature and a strong character and strives for the ideal. Her top priorities are her husband, children, and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Tiffany doesn't do anything by halves, even if it means going to great lengths to accomplish the commitment or goal. Tiffany loves traditions and really embraced the traditions of the Jewish culture from Damon's heritage. Tiffany has a great love of music and loved singing as well as playing the violin and piano. She has a passion for education and not only homeschooled her children for many years, but was herself a lifelong student of the gospel and secular topics. It seems that every phone call we had, she was reading something new that she wanted to tell me about. She has a gift for making people feel very special and lets them know how important they are to her. She served faithfully in her church callings in Relief Society, Young Women, and Primary. She has accomplished many goals and projects, too many to name, but a few of which include learning how to play the piano as an adult, training for and completing half marathons and other running events, and learning how to make a video documentary and completing a wonderful presentation for Joel and Vivian's 50th wedding anniversary. Even within the past few months, she has set ambitious goals that would be challenging for anyone, let alone someone battling an illness like she had. One example is in December, like Damon had mentioned this, she decided to finish her Young Women's Personal Progress. I had recently finished it a month or so earlier and was telling her about it. And she clasped her hands together and she said, I want to do that. Will you help me? And so she has been working on it for over the years, and we caught her up to where she was, and then we moved forward from there. I had the privilege of helping her by reading the scriptures out loud and writing in her journal as she dictated her thoughts and memories and testimony. She was too weak to write it in her own journal. It was a special time for us to share. More often than not, the scriptures brought tears of joy and gratitude. It was a beautiful time to reflect on her life, too. To make it even more meaningful, Emily completed her personal progress as well, and as Damon mentioned, they were awarded their medallions this past Sunday. Tiffany has always been a remarkable example of dedication and faithfulness to me and others, even in her extremities. Throughout her illness, she continued to attend her church meetings, teach Relief Society, and even read the Old Testament as it was the course of study in Sunday school this past year. This probably doesn't come as any surprise to anyone who knows her, because this is just who she is and indicative of how she lived her life. As we know from Scripture and modern prophets, a loved one who passes on can be a ministering angel for those of us still on earth, inspiring, encouraging, guiding, and guiding us through the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe Tiffany will be a ministering angel for us whenever possible. I would like to close with one more experience I had with Tiffany. A few years ago, I was talking to Tiffany on the phone and asked her if she wanted to run a half marathon with me. She enthusiastically said, yes! As it turns out, I have yet to finish that goal. But Tiffany did it. I was there at the finish line as she crossed with wobbly legs and her last bit of energy spent, and we both burst into tears and hugged each other. It's hard not to draw a comparison with the race being her life, where she was giving it her all, her last bit of strength, and says the words of Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept faith. If there is one thing that Tiffany would desire for each of us here, is to be able to say we kept the faith too. And she will be there to help us as much as she can to accomplish that end. I know the plan of salvation is real and true. Our loving Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ have made it possible for us to be reunited with our families and loved ones through the atonement, the power of the priesthood, and the sealing ordinances found in the Holy Temple. I know these things are true. I'm so thankful for the example Tiffany set for me and for the strength of her testimony, which has in turn strengthened mine. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
so much. And by the way, the end of that story of the dress-up there, I think I was about 5, and it ended when my buddy came to the door and wanted to play with me, and I realized what I was wearing, and I had to put my foot down there. I think they called me something, too. I don't remember what the name was. Sorry? Oh, Crystal. Just one of those things I just blocked out of my memory. Thanks for bringing that up, Shelby. On behalf of the extended family, I'd like to thank everyone for their kindness and help during this time. Many have come long distances to be here. We appreciate your efforts, and we thank the members of the 82nd Ward, Bishop Rourke Janis, and his ward members, and those families and friends who have helped plan and prepare and conduct this event here today. A special thanks for Damon, of course, for enabling Tiffany only a few short weeks ago to be here at Damon Jr. McCall's Ceiling and provide many of us here in Utah the opportunity to see her and feel of her spirit as she shared her touching thanks for the many prayers on her behalf. A special thanks also for her nurse Jamie, who attended to Tiffany through her final few days. We as a family are so grateful to you, and know that Tiffany was too. At Damon's request, I'm honored to speak here at this special occasion, and was asked to talk about the doctrine of the atonement of Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation. I find this very appropriate to touch on this topic, as Tiffany had a strong conviction of these things, and Taylor is sharing this now as a full-time missionary. The gospel was very important to her, and I know that Damon was inspired to ensure it was discussed here today. Tiffany was a big influence for instilling his belief in me, and so at Damon's request, and out of respect for her and my own convictions, I would like to share some thoughts. Please bear with me and don't consider it an attempt to chastise or to convert anyone. You will notice that LDS funerals are a bit different. We are sad at the passing of our loved ones, but only because of the temporary separation. We know that we can be with them again someday. Therefore, our funeral services take a more positive, forward-thinking tone and are more a celebration and honoring of life, expressing our thanks and love, and looking forward with hope to our future reunion. We take great comfort in God's plan of salvation that answers the age-old questions: where did we come from, why are we here, and what happens to us after death? We existed as spiritual individuals long before being born here on the earth. God is the Father of our spirits. We are His literal children, and He loves us. We lived with Him in this pre-existence, and we earned the opportunity to take the next step in our eternal progression, come to this earth, and to gain a physical body. Here we live and grow and work and learn, have physical children of our own, and experience all the pleasures and pains and joys and sorrows of mortality. Earth life is not easy. It is full of twists and turns and pitfalls and struggles, and also great happiness and joy when we make the right choices. Earth life is also a test. Because we don't remember our pre-existence with God, we must walk by faith, not by sight. We are given free agency to choose between right and wrong. Our personal choices here are important because they help determine and shape our eternal futures. None of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to the earth to show us how to live our lives, and also to suffer, die, and be resurrected in order to pay the price for our mistakes. So in spite of our imperfections, if we accept Christ's gift of the atonement, repent of our sins, and make them right, and live the way He has taught us to, His grace is sufficient that we can still be worthy to return to live with our heavenly home, to return to our heavenly home, and live forever in the presence of God and our loved ones. Death is the simple separation of our spirit from our physical body. It is a natural part of life. It's just the next step into eternal progression. Tiffany's mortal remains were carefully dressed today by her father, mother, and sisters and placed in a casket. But her spirit continues to live, to feel, to learn, and to love, but in a different realm that is separated from physical life on earth. We are promised that one day our spirits and our perfected physical bodies will be reunited in the resurrection as we continue to progress and become more like our Heavenly Father. When I was a little boy, my curiosity caused me to ask my mother how we will be resurrected. And in response, she says, "I don't know. But because Jesus has, he will show us." Simple as that may sound, it rested well with me, and still does today. In the Book of Mormon, another testament of Jesus Christ, a companionship to the Bible, we read about a prophet named Alma the Younger, sharing words to his son, who was concerned about death being unfair. He taught his son about death, saying, quote, "Now behold, it was not expedient that man should be reclaimed from this temporal death, for that would destroy the plan of happiness." He didn't say that setting mortal death aside would merely delay or disturb the plan of happiness. He said it would destroy it. The words death and happiness are not close companions here in mortality, but in the eternal sense, they are essential to one another. Death is a mechanism of rescue. It's part of our journey home. Gospel knowledge that we will see Tiffany again gives us long-term hope, but it doesn't completely remove the sting we feel now. Even the Savior wept and groaned when his friend Lazarus died, even knowing full well that he was going to raise him from the dead. So it's okay to grieve. For those close to Tiffany, life will never be the same, and the grieving process will take time. But again, we can look to the Savior for comfort. He sends his comforter, the Holy Ghost, to help us through these difficult times. And again, his grace is sufficient. We just need to open our hearts, ask, and listen. While we grieve for the loss of this good woman, we celebrate the wonderful life that she lived. The love she gave and the example she set, Tiffany lived a gospel-centered life. She chose to follow Christ. She was selfless and always more concerned with the welfare and happiness of others around her. She prepared herself well for this day, this step, and was ready for it. To me, Tiffany has a special place in my heart for her relentless letter writing while I was serving a mission for the church in Japan. Despite the challenges of raising a young family, including having both Spencer and Taylor while out for those 2 years and moving a few times, she took the time to send me, and I counted them, 50 letters. Almost double that if you count all the letters that Heather and Damon Jr. were sent as well. At the end of each letter, she always bore her testimony of the things that I've shared with you and we've heard today. In like manner, I think it fitting too that I end my remarks here with her words of testimony, shared in those letters written over 20 years ago. And these are taken right from her letters. "We have a loving Heavenly Father whose ways are perfect. I know Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. He lives. Christ atoned for the sins of all mankind. Christ is the way, the truth, and the light. I'm so grateful for the Savior for suffering me so that I may, through him, have eternal life. I know Jesus is the Savior, and he loves us more than we can comprehend. I hope someday to develop and be blessed with the gift of charity, to feel a portion of the love Christ has for all men. Jesus Christ stands at the head of this church. Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. In the flesh, who lived a spotless life and atoned for our sins and overcame death to give us eternal life and access to exaltation. The Lord loves each of us perfectly and is aware of each of us personally. I love him and I am grateful for his eternal sacrifice for me. Jesus is the gospel, his example, atonement, and resurrection. The Holy Ghost is a powerful testifier and will testify of all truth. I know that obedience and repentance are the keys to gaining exaltation. I know that through the atonement, all who repent and obey and endure can have all that the Father hath. We can be forever families if we live up to our temple covenants and endure to the end faithfully. Life has a purpose, and man is that he might have joy. Babies and family are so beautiful in his plan. I have a testimony that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he came to the earth to fulfill the plan. Families are so important, and Satan is attacking the family from all sides. I look around and my heart aches for children who are growing up in such awful situations of single parents, divorce, abuse, and without the gospel. I feel so fortunate to have had a secure upbringing and to be able to raise a family in healthy and loving circumstances. The gospel is true and beautiful, and I love it so much. Exclamation point. The gospel is simple, perfect, and fits together just right everywhere. Exclamation point. The gospel is eternal and perfect and new and immovable. True happiness isn't found at amusement parks or fairs or immaterial possessions. It's found in living the gospel of Jesus Christ. The main thing that helps me deal with all negative, horrible stuff the world is involved in is in my faith in Jesus Christ. That there is a better future through him, and ultimately good will triumph over evil. That faith and testimony makes life worth living and inspires me to do my best and gives me a perfect brightness of hope. I know that obedience to the principles of the gospel makes a person happy, and the Lord will bless him, and that disobedience brings punishment and misery. The gospel is true. It is the rod that you must cling to in the midst of darkness. I know the gospel is true, and that this church is his church and is the kingdom of God on the earth, and I am grateful for its constantness in this world of ever-increasing insecurity and instability. I find peace and safety in the gospel message. There is hope, and righteousness will win in the end. I hope and pray that my family, the one I grew up in, and the one I'm raising, will be on the Lord's side when he comes again. I have a testimony of faith. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we need not fear as long as we are faithfully striving to keep the commandments and our covenants. I hope I will stand as a witness of Christ always. Miracles do happen. There are many more words that she shared, but I picked a few from all of those letters. Truly, this is a plan of happiness. Tiffany, thank you for a lifetime of wonderful memories and invaluable teachings. We all agree that we are better off for having known you and being a part of our lives. We know Tiffany had a passion for our founding fathers here in America. So in similitude of Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, I share the following. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what Tiffany did here. It is for the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which she fought here, have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us here to be dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from Tiffany's passing, we take increased devotion to that cause for which she gave the last full measure of devotion. Tiffany, I love you, and we look forward to seeing you again. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Our dear Father in heaven, we are very thankful to be gathered here today. We're so thankful for the love and support that is here. We're so thankful for Tiffany. We're so thankful for the life that she lived. We're so thankful for the things that she taught us and for the influence that she's had in all of our lives. We are so thankful for thee and for the gospel. We are so thankful for the strength that thou hast given us and that thou wilt continue to give us. And we pray that that through Jesus Christ, that the sting of death will be swallowed up. We pray that we can move forward in faith and that we will be able to live our lives in a way that reflects the life of Tiffany and the influence that she's had on us. We pray that as we leave here today that we can be strengthened by thee and that we can always retain remembrance of Tiffany and her life and also be in the gospel. We pray a blessing on the food that we'll be eating soon, and we pray that we'll be able to have strength and energy through the remainder of the day, and we ask these blessings in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.